line, all that was needed was a pressurised box with altitude jets and an elsewhere matrix to get you to the top of any other line. A few specialised trades and the tourist industry used ships capable of traversing a solar system. There were even some ships that could fly ground to orbit in an emergency. No one needed a ship that could reach orbit and fly across a system and jump via the elsewhere. This one could. Kin's unease began to be tinted with excitement. The line and the matrix had chopped space into mere pauses between identical line-top arrival lounges. This ship was something else. There was a dumbwaiter, a big model, programmed to produce anything from lobster thermidor to sawdust. It could even reproduce Shand proteins. There was a medical room that would not have disgraced a city. There was also a deep freeze, a fact so unusual that Kin lifted the lid. "Now there's a thing," she murmured. Silver peered in and rooted around among the frosted packages.
"Nothing remarkable," she said. "Meat, fish, fowl, leaves, swollen tubers, human food."
Kin pointed at the dumbwaiter, humming seductively to itself. "Ever known one of those to fail?" she said.
"They don't," said Silver. "If they did, you humans would never have allowed us into space."
"Then why waste space and weight hauling this junk?" "If he was nervous, he'd bring Shandy food." "Of course, I forget he's old."
"Old?"
"Old enough to be fussy about machine-made food. This lot here must have cost him a fortune."
"Please explain about old," said Silver insistently.
Kin told the Shand about the Terminus probe. When she finished, she was aware that the giant was looking at her oddly.
"You humans must have been mad for space," she said.
They turned as Marco strode silently into the room, trembling with rage.
"What is this ship?" he bawled. "There's enough weaponry in the hold to blow a hole through a planet."
"And small arms," murmured Kin. Marco stared at her, while she felt her mind beginning to think very fast indeed.
"Precisely. But how did you guess?"
"No guess. I think I've seen enough. Silver, was there a message from J-Lo when you got here?"
"The Kung in the ferry said I was to wait. Why?"
Kin shook her head urgently. "Marco, there must be spacesuits around. If we got into them, could you evacuate the ship?"
"Down here? It'd implode. I'd have to take her up, and that..."
"This is a .0003 Clipe automatic. If you all leapt at me, the chances are I would not get you all. But who would I shoot first?" J-Lo was standing by the door, the pistol dangling nonchalantly from one hand. Kin thought about what a stream of clipe needles could do and decided to stand very still. She glanced at Silver. The Shand wasn't looking at J-Lo. She was staring at Marco. He had dropped into a curious bow-legged stance, arms held out from his body like an ancient gunfighter, and he was hissing softly.
"Tell it, if it attacks, I will shoot," said J-Lo. "Tell it."
"You know he can understand you," said Kin coldly. She heard Silver say in Shandy,
"In a minute there's going to be an almighty fight, Kin. No one threatens a Kung and lives."
"Marco is legally human," said Kin in all speak.
"Yeah, that fooled me," said J-Lo. "I should have known better. I told that agency computer on real Earth to pick three people that fitted my specifications, and it gave me three names. The damn thing never bothered to say two of them were BEMs.
Only Silver, student of history, understood the term. She growled. "It surely mentioned planets of origin," said Kin.
"The big frog was born on Earth, though, and the bear born in a ship orbiting Shand," said J-Lo. "Doesn't anyone ever mention species these days? Legally human, ye God, do not move."
"I was wondering where you were," said Kin. "I should have been looking for a patch of fuzzy air, looter." He grinned lopsidedly.
"The word is nasty but true. just like the company looted strata machines and aligned